The reading is Mark 1, 3 through 11. John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And the whole Judea region and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "This one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the strap of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The baptism of Jesus. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens and tore apart, and the Spirit descending like a dove upon him. And a voice came from the heavens, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am pleased. With you I am well pleased." This is the word of God.
Let us bow our heads as we pray together. Almighty God, we are grateful for your presence. We're grateful for your love. Grateful for the forgiveness, the cleansing we again experience today. Thank you for voices that we can use to lift you up in worship. And thank you for your word that speaks to us, that will always remain relevant. And thank you that you have a message for us today on this special day. May your Spirit move in our hearts and our minds so we open our lives to receive the message. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. TGIF. Thank God it's Friday. You know, people have been offering this secular prayer of thanksgiving for years and years. And the phrase has become so popular that it's attached to a restaurant chain called TGI Fridays. And according to the franchise, they're bringing people together to socialize and celebrate the freeing and the liberating spirit of Friday. And the phrase is based on the belief that people are happier on Friday, the end of the work week. But not for pastors though, okay? Because Friday is only one day closer to Sunday. And it is not, okay? It's not like the guy who said, "You pastors have the greatest job in the world because 6 days of the week you're invisible and the seventh day you're incomprehensible." That's not true, okay? In any case, talking about thank God it's Friday, would you respond enthusiastically to a restaurant chain that tried to entice you with the words, "Give me more Mondays"? Probably not. People talk about their Monday morning blues. They hum the tune, "Rainy Days and Mondays." Or like the Boomtown Rats. Remember them? Like the Boomtown Rats used to sing when I was in ninth grade, which, by the way, was not too long ago, but I don't like Mondays. I don't like Mondays. That was pretty much my motto in school. I don't like Mondays. I didn't like Tuesdays either, or Wednesdays for that matter. But in any case, Mondays are supposed to bring you down. But what if they don't? You know, research has uncovered that people are not much happier on Fridays than they are on Mondays. They really aren't. Fact is, our moods do not changed dramatically over the course of the week. But we remember Fridays as happy days because of the meaning and the emotions we attach to Fridays. Because Friday is when we're liberated from the chores of the week, the work week. It's when we turn from business to pleasure. It's when the door to the weekend is thrown open wide. These are the meanings and emotions that we attach to Fridays. Friday has connotative and emotive significance, and it affects and shapes our memory of how we actually felt on a particular Friday. Because we believe that Fridays are happy days, we remember them as happy days. So think about this. Meaning shapes memory. Meaning shapes memory. A bride says, well, her wedding day was the happiest day of her life. But in fact, it was incredibly stressful. But the meaning of marriage turns it into a happy memory. A man says that the birth of his first child was a joy. But the truth is, it was absolute misery to watch his wife suffer through labor. But the meaning of childbirth makes the memory a positive one. A teenager says that her rejection by a boyfriend was the most crushing blow of her life. In fact, she felt a bit relieved and bounced back quickly. But the meaning of romance makes the breakup a very painful memory. Meaning shapes memory. So Mondays are not actually blue, but people persist in the belief that they are. And so this insight can help us to better understand the significance of what happened to Jesus in the Jordan River. It's a perfect example of how meaning shapes memory. So John the Baptizer appears in the wilderness. He's proclaiming baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the city of Jerusalem and all Judea flock to him. And they confess their sins and they're baptized in the River Jordan. After years of living with a filthy buildup of sin and unrighteousness, the people of the region are relieved to be washed clean and made right with God. And this feels very good to them. So John is providing a much needed spiritual service. And you wouldn't be surprised to hear the people saying, TGFJ, thank God for John. Because when we look at the actual events that occurred at the Jordan, we see a variety of emotions. There's gratitude for the forgiveness of sins. There's surprise and shock at the sight of this guy, John, the baptizer, because he was a little strange. He wore camel hair clothing, and he had a diet of locusts and wild honey. But then John switches gears and he says, well, someone more powerful is going to come. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And there's certainly confusion about the identity of the all-powerful one who's coming after John. And so the actual experience of John's ministry is a jumble of different emotions. And all of this changes when Jesus comes on the scene. Because meaning has powerful effect on memory. And Mark tells us that Jesus comes from Nazareth of Galilee and is baptized by John in the Jordan. And as Jesus is coming out of the water, he sees the heavens open and the Holy Spirit descends and comes down on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven says, you are my own dear son, and I'm pleased with you. This is the meaning of baptism. Jesus is God's son, the beloved. The mix of feelings up to this point, gratitude for cleansing, surprise at the baptizer's clothing, confusion about the identity of the all-powerful one, all of that is suddenly pushed aside. And in their place, a new emotion emerges, joy. When Jesus is baptized, the people are filled with overflowing with a feeling of joy and relief that God has revealed his son, the Messiah. He's announced his love, and he's proclaimed just how pleased he is with Jesus. And so the meaning of baptism is that God accepts Jesus as his son. And the happiness we feel over this acceptance shapes our memory of baptism. Because God is the mix of emotions that were felt by the people at the Jordan River, replaced by deep joy that Jesus is God's son, that he is the beloved. And Jesus is so now for us, the Word of God in human form. The way, the truth, the life. God from God, light from light, true God from true God. And after witnessing his baptism, we don't have to wonder any longer about who Jesus is. Because we know his true identity. He is God's son. And the same is true for us as we remember our own baptism. Because in this sacrament, we're connected to the body of Christ. We are joined to the universal community of Christians that's nothing less than the flesh and blood, physical presence of Jesus in the world today. And the Apostle Paul says, "Do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? For if we've been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." So in this sacrament, we become children of God. And God loves and accepts us no less than Jesus Christ himself. You see, the meaning of baptism is that it connects us to the body of Christ. It enables us to die and rise with Jesus. It makes us dead to sin. It makes us alive to God. You should see yourselves as being dead to the power of sin and alive with God through Christ Jesus. And so it gives us new and everlasting life. It provides us with a freshly minted identity as children of a loving God. It's an experience that shapes our memory forever, a memory shaped by meaning. Because like birth, baptism means life. It is done once, yet it is for all of our life. If I say to you, "I was married," you will likely assume that my wife has died or I'm divorced. I was married. But if I say I am married, you will assume I have a wife and that on a certain date I was married and I still am. And so it's true and it's essential for all of us to say, "I was baptized." It's also necessary to proclaim, "I am baptized." Because it's not just something in the past. It shapes your life every day. The fact that you are a child, a beloved child of God. So Warren and John Warren, where's John Warren? Is he hiding? You are being baptized today. And all of you, you know, who have been baptized, whether it was as a baby many years ago or later as an adult, or maybe even more recently, I don't know. Remember that baptism marks our birth as Christians. And through baptism, we are identified as children of God who are both loved and lovable. We are chosen by the Lord to be His people in the world. The Dutch priest and popular theologian Henry Nouwen wrote, "The truth, even though I cannot feel it right now, is that I am the chosen child of God, precious in God's eyes, called the beloved from all eternity and held safe in an everlasting embrace." The chosen child of God. This is not just Jesus. It is each one of us. Precious, beloved, safe in an everlasting embrace. That's our true identity. Meaning shapes memory. So Warren, Leanne, Trevor, John Warren, make this your memory of baptism. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that the meaning of baptism is that we are beloved. We become children of the Heavenly Father. May the fact that we are loved, may the fact that we belong to your family shape us, give us the meaning we all seek. And may the memory of our own baptisms and the memory of this baptism today enable us to truly understand the meaning of what's happening and how much we are loved by you as you call us your own children. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.